Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Sermon Postscript, where we discuss and kind of dissect the sermon at hand of this past Sunday. And I'm here with Jay again, and Jay just went through Judges 4, the story of Deborah and Barak. And yeah, Jay, well, thanks for preaching and thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, so a couple, I don't know, just questions that I had regarding the sermon. We apologize for the, if you were watching live, the difficulties, but we hope it doesn't happen again. One question that really struck to me is your first point, where you talked about how for Barak, it seemed like he wasn't having genuine faith, but it was, I need someone to be there to have faith in God. And I think you alluded to your pastor illustration. And one question I had was, I guess, more practical question is, I think oftentimes as Christians, there are people in your lives that have, you know, mortal people, human beings that have a significant amount of influence over your faith. And I guess, what's one way to judge making sure that you're not following that person, whether it be a pastor or, you know, an author or a leader, rather than Jesus? Because that's something that I always struggle with. You know, there, Tim Keller is one guy that we both, you know, really like. Just catching myself, am I worshiping Jesus, or do I just like Tim Keller's wisdom? So I guess, do you have any advice for people kind of in that boat?
Yeah, I think definitely it's a tricky situation, because God does place people in our lives as mentors or, you know, people of wisdom, that we should definitely heed their calling and kind of listen to their advice. But I think maybe for me as an Asian American, where there is more of a hierarchical, patriarchal system, just even within our culture, there is a lot of deference to people with certain titles, whether it's pastor or elder or professor. And I think one of the things that can really help, I guess, identify whether if it's a healthy model of mentorship or if it's maybe an unhealthy crutch, is to really ask yourself, is your faith and relationship with Jesus, like, does it look different if that person was not in your life? You know, and I think a lot of times you can place certain people, and I've experienced this even in my life as well, where, you know, I am taken away from some of those relational crutches for my faith. And it really came down to how much faith and how much obedience does my life actually include without them in my lives, you know? So I think those are just kind of good reflective points and good questions to ask yourselves, you know, as you think about the genuineness of your faith.
Yeah, no, that's helpful, especially getting practical. I guess one related question to that point too is, you know, you talked about how for a lot of us, we do need to have that genuine faith, which you alluded to. And what do you see as pitfalls for those that don't have that, which is what you described? Because, you know, COVID, whether, you know, I'm not saying that this is a good thing, but I do think COVID was kind of a revealer of your faith, right? Of like, hey, the church is kind of physically gone. You're not physically there. And I think a lot of people are dealing with that. So I guess, could you speak to any pitfalls of not having genuine faith?
Yeah, I think, you know, we've talked about this a little bit, and, you know, you in your podcast have a very good episode on just kind of the deconstruction of faith that people are experiencing. And I think one of the biggest pitfalls is when your faith is not really genuine and it's really based on kind of the external circumstances or environment surrounding you. There comes a point in your life, whether it's even your own existential crisis or whether it's maybe a very tragic incident that happens or occurs in your life, where you begin to really deconstruct for yourself whether you really believe in this whole Christianity thing or not.
Yeah.
You know, so, and not that deconstruction in itself is bad, but I think a major pitfall is that when your faith isn't genuine, there comes a point in your life where you really realize that there really was no foundation in which you were standing upon.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like if, you know, I think young kids today say like, oh, some people base their whole personality on if they can, you know, like dads base their whole personality on if they can barbecue or not, you know, and then you take barbecue away and it's like, oh, I have no personality. And I think that's a pitfall where you base your entire faith not on like the real personal relationship that you have with Christ, but based on like your church or your youth group or your friend group. And once that is removed from you, then you realize, oh man, I have nothing to stand on. And it becomes kind of like this, you kind of spiral out of control in terms of how you view yourself. And I think it can be very emotionally dangerous.
Yeah. I this might kind of already summarize what you said, but I think one thing I would add is like, it always catches up, you know, like, cause I think for most of the people that, you know, I'm not, this is very general, but a lot of people, they know when it's like, I'm faking it, you know? Yeah. Hey, fake it till you make it at work and stuff. I think that's really good advice. But I think spiritually, that's such bad advice because it always catches up. Like, yeah. Deconstruction always happens because someone kept putting this away. Like, oh, you know, I'm just going to keep coming to church and just put up a face. And I think what we're saying is like, hey, don't not come to church. But, you know, be honest with where you're at with people at your church, especially here at True North. Because I think that's where the community is needed. And that's how genuine faith actually comes to me, I think. Yeah. It's not... Yeah. I don't know, the people that I know that have really solid faith, it's not that they always had like a perfect life, but they've been genuine about their lack of faith. And I found that helpful to me too. So,
yeah. And you know, we all kind of experienced this. And I think the biggest indicator is in college, right? Especially if you're involved in a campus ministry, then everyone seems like a genuine Christian.
Yeah, yeah. And then you're like, I got to do the same thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And then you graduate and you're on your own. And then you see kind of the drop off of people who kind of fall under this pitfall.
Yeah, no, totally. I've seen that in my own life too. So hope that's helpful. But another point that you brought up was how Deborah, in light of Barak's maybe lack of faith, is shown in the story to have extraordinary, courageous faith, right? And, you know, I think in today's context, it's a little different. But yeah, I guess, can you speak to, well, how can we live with that type of courage today? You know, the battles that we face are totally different than maybe the times of the judges. But yeah, how would we as True North members kind of carry supernatural faith in today's age?
Yeah, I think when we have a real genuine faith in who God is, it should play out in our ability to live out his laws in our lives and live in obedience. And I think when we think about kind of the culture and the climate that we are, you know, especially kind of like this whole cancel culture that we are living in right now, and for people who are working in the Silicon Valley, there is a temptation not to live, quote unquote, courageously according to your faith, because it's easier to just kind of go under the radar and kind of just blend in and be spiritual chameleons to a climate, you know, whether you're living in a super progressive area, whether you're living in a super fundamental area, you know, it's much easier just to adapt and become chameleons. And I think this is where when we have a complete trust in a God, that he causes all things to work together for the good of those who love him, we are able to display courage to go against the popular opinion, to go against the current of our the cultural climate, when it is necessary and when it goes against the truth of the Bible. And I think that is one of the major ways that we can really live in a courageous way, you know. And just from my own thought, like I'm thinking about parents, it's so easy just to fall under the trap of keeping up with the Joneses, you know, like you got to send your kids to all these, you know, tutoring and make sure that they're on the right track. And and there are, you know, stories of people who say, you know, we're going to live, we're going to live in this specific area without a good school system for the sake of, you know, blessing our community. And, and we're going to trust that God will be able to take care of our children. You know, a lot of missionaries do that. They take their children away from, you know, modern cultures to third world countries and trust that their kids will be able to have good educations, you know, and not that every missionary kid falls under good, you know, good education, but the majority that I've met, they do pretty well, you know, and I think that's kind of one of the displays of courage or examples of courage that we can kind of look at.
Yeah. Yeah. If I, something that sparked in my mind while you're talking was, I do think there's that side where, you know, there are moments where it's clear of what to do to be courageous. But I also think courage, especially in our age, is also the small kind of ordinary, boring decisions that we can make. So meaning, you know, like even within the church, I wish, you know, I wish the church was more courageous within the church than outside the church. So meaning like, I know Christians that are really quick on Facebook to condemn like the world and how we're being attacked. And oftentimes, though, what I see is a lack of courage to point out our own flaws within the church, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think we talked about this before in previous episodes, but even within our own community, like, One thing COVID for sure I knew made it easier is to sin in whatever way. There's a lot of ways. I'm not saying like one particular way, but I think the best way to safeguard that as a church is to be courageous and like call it out, you know? And that's one of the most maybe courageous things you might be called to do. And it's not that sexy or cool, but I think that's what honestly, genuinely following faith in Christ is. Like in your community groups on Zoom, like, hey, like how are you really doing? And mm-hmm. kind of being courageous into that. So that's one thing I'd add.
True. Absolutely.
So, you know, at the last point, and I think this is a common theme with all the stories of Judges, and I think what is, you know, you can add your thoughts, this is just my thoughts, but I think the story of Judges is God is always sovereign, no matter how crazy our enemies are or no matter how bad we mess it up. And I think you can see that, especially within this story and every story too, but this story particularly. But I guess, again, for us on a practical level, like what does the sovereignty of God, it's very clear in Judges because we're seeing from a, you know, bird's eye view. But again, for us as people living in the Silicon Valley, as we're kind of getting out of COVID, what would you say as our lead pastor that the sovereignty of God empowers us to do at this current moment?
Yeah, you know, and this is where if we truly understand and believe in the sovereignty of God, that it should give us, it should propel us and empower us to live in a supernatural, courageous way. Mm. You know, that, and this is not me saying like we need to, you know, live like these radical lives and really kind of be this outspoken Christian or anything like that. Yeah. But I think there's a lot of times where as Christians, we do display cowardice, especially in the workplace or, you know, if things kind of go against the climate of the culture. We tend to remain silent or we tend to maybe not speak up, you know, and you know, when Apostle Paul talks about, you know, that if God does not even withhold his own very son, would he even withhold, you know, it's proof that he won't withhold anything good from us. Mm-hmm. And I think this is where through God's sovereignty, if we really believe and trust in it, that we would have the courage to be able to stand on the word of God and not upon culture, and to live in a way that we know will bring God most glory through obedience, as opposed to trying to kind of fit in with the status quo of what the culture is trying to teach us.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think the only thing I would add is like, I think the reason why we want to fit in is because we want to be sovereign at times, or we want control. And the best way to do that is to, you know, do whatever you want. And I think God's sovereignty is encouraging on one hand, as you said, but it also should be at the same time, like rebuking to you that at times, especially here in the Silicon Valley, families, singles, whoever you are, like, you are not sovereign and that God is in control and that he has a plan and whatever it is, it's better than yours. And I think that also on the flip side should humble you and change how you live in whatever context. So yeah, well, we hope you're blessed by this. If you could just mark in your dates, we're hoping to have June 20th as our first Sunday at Gunn High School. So just keep that in mind. But yeah, other than that, thanks for listening, and we hope you're blessed.
Yeah, have a good week, everyone.